Let me introduce myself. My name's Justin. I get to be one of the pastors here at Hope Church. And today, I am so happy to be with you because we are in the third week of this series, More Than Music. And remember, we're taking a look that sometimes in church world, we come up with this idea that our worship is only this time of music that we have together. But worship is so much more than that. See, worship is about God occupying my heart, mind, and soul. Worship is a way of life. It's the way that we live our day-to-day lives, and we worship with every thought, every action, and every word. But sometimes we get focused on that one detail, maybe that detail of music. See, I'm a details person myself. I get wrapped up in the details, and sometimes I get hyper-focused on one thing. That's what we do in our worship. But sometimes, you guys know what this is like, right? When you get locked into something. Let me give you an example of it. Those kids, they did so good, right? We're watching that video. The first time I saw this video, I saw this clip. You know where my mind went right away? Right there. That is a lack of attention to detail. And I saw this and I said, this is one of our parents that's the back of the name tag. What kind of parent would do that? Would just throw that on the ground? But I'm a details person. Parents, I got your back. And I zoomed in on that and I realized it's not the back. It's that label itself that fell. So parents, we're cool. You're good. But then I'm saying, well, Steve Van Horn, you're the family pastor. Where are you? Why is that showing up in the shot there? And I'm a details person. What happens is I get stuck on that detail. And what did I lose sight of? The all play, the worship that happened in that moment. And what a great thing that was, that those kids were having so much fun and they were worshiping together. And you heard them, praise the Lord. That's the big picture. But when we get stuck on the details, we lose sight of the big picture. So let me ask you this question. What do you give your attention to that doesn't really matter? What is the thing in your life that you just get hyper-focused on, you lock in, and it really doesn't matter? And maybe you even do it in a realm of your worship, in a part of your worship, and you totally forget about the bigger picture, about everything that needs to happen. And you're so locked in that you can't see anything different. See, Paul is going to speak to that because over the last 2 weeks we've heard about our worship can be back to God using our gifts for service for Him. But Paul, in chapters 12 and chapter 14, Paul makes this big deal about it. But we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 13 this morning. You can go there. This is all about love. And Paul's point is, hey, when you are serving God, if you are using your gifts, if all that fails, you can always fall back to this idea of love. And see, I'm so hyper-focused that I forgot to bring this up with me because I need it. And so, here's what Paul says. He says, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but I didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. He says, I could know everything in the world. I could have all these gifts. I could do all these great things. But it doesn't matter because none of it's going to matter if I don't actually hear what you have to say. It doesn't matter if I'm not loving God. Now, we do this in our lives, right? Because you've maybe worked on a project before and you've had this conversation with someone and you're working towards a common goal. And as you're working towards this common goal, you want to actually discuss that. But what's the other person do? They start giving their resume. They start telling you about everything they've ever accomplished in life. Why they're so perfect for this project. Why they're such a good fit. And they lose sight of the big picture. Maybe you've been on a date. And on your date is just talking about what they did in high school. How they were so great. The trophies that they won. And all you hear is that wah, 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 that noisy gong. That's what Paul says is happening right here. He says, you can have so much gifting. And God can gift you in great ways. But if you forget to love people, He says, no one is going to ever hear a word that you say. It's not going to matter. We're going to talk about this idea of love. Love is the key of this chapter. This is the love chapter, right? You guys, you may have never stepped in a church before today, and you have heard this passage when you've gone to a wedding at some point. And you'll hear this as you come through it. But what we need to understand is the kind of love that is showing up in this chapter. So in our Greek, in the New Testament, it's the Greek that's in that New Testament. There's four different Greek words for love that we use. We only have one, so they're all translated as love. But here's the four different that show up in the Bible. There's storge. Storge is this fondness, it's comfort, it's this family devotion. Think of when you're sitting around the dinner table with your family, maybe you're playing board games together, and there's just this comfort level, and you're like, I storge you. You know, you're so into it with them, and you're hanging out, because you can just be yourself in that. That's storge. Then there's philia, that's affection, friendship. Think of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. That's brotherly love, but it's so much more than that. Think blood brothers, right? Where you cut your hand open, you spit on it, you shake your hand, and that's a bond that lasts a lifetime. That's what philia is. And then there's eros. Eros is what sometimes we think 1 Corinthians 13 is about, because we think that it's about this romantic relationship because we hear it at weddings, but it's not. Eros is about the romance. Eros is a sensual, sexual love that you have for the other person. Think of it this way. Look, married people, when you go home and you're in alone, not here, don't do it here, but just squint your eyes, look into the other person's eyes, and just eros. Right? That's how you're going to remember what kind of love eros is, because eros is the sensual love that you have for the other person. But 1 Corinthians 13 is agape love. Agape is a sacrificial, unconditional love. Agape is God's love that He had for you and for me. It's His love that He demonstrated to us. And so that's what we're going to be looking at. And that's Paul just reiterates his point. He says, if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, what's he say? He says, that would be nothing. He says, it doesn't matter what my faith could have me do if I forget to love others. Someone else, if I forget to love the people around me, if I forget to love them in that agape way, that sacrificial, unconditional way, that I would be nothing. He keeps going. He says, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. He says, I could brag a little bit, I could flex on someone, but he says, I would have gained nothing if I'm forgetting this point of loving the person next to me. So when we ask, what do we give our attention to that doesn't really matter? Here's what we need to understand, that worship is giving your attention to what matters most. And you might ask the question, well, what does matter most? You know what? The disciples had the very same question. In Matthew 22, here's what they said. They said, the teacher, speaking to Jesus, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He says, this is the first and greatest commandment. They said, Jesus, what's the most important? And he says, it's this love that you have for God, that this love that you offer back with all your heart, soul, and mind. He says, that is the most important. That is the greatest thing. And see, that's why we are who we are as a church. This is our church mission statement. It's gone. It's calling all people to love God, follow Jesus, and serve others. That's what our mission statement is. And see, we have a vision for our church. We have a goal that we want to get to. It is to see the spiritual climate of the state of Rhode Island changed, radically changed, one person at a time, one community at a time. And see, we understand that calling all people, all play, everyone involved to love God, that is worship. When we love God, it's not about coming here and singing a song. That's not what we're asking everyone to come do. We're asking them to live this life of worship, to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind. And that is a form of worship. Jesus goes on, and he says, there's a second commandment. He says it's equally as important. What's he say? Love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you can get one thing today, if there's one thing that you can walk away with, here's what I want you to understand from that passage right there. The best way that you can love God, the best way that we can do that is by loving others. You might ask the question, well, how? How do we actually love them? How do we worship in that way? And let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and see what Paul has to say about it. Paul says that love is patient and kind, is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. See, this is what you guys have heard at the wedding before, right? This is not new. And I could sit here and I could walk you through what each one of these words means, but you know what they mean. But what if we looked at this passage a little bit differently? What if we looked at this and we said, what if I worshiped with my patience? What if I express my love back to God and I worship with my patience? That means when I'm with that person that's driving me absolutely insane, that I can't stand them anymore, and I say, God, I don't know why you put me here. God, I don't know why I have to be in this moment right now with this person. But God, you know what? As an act of worship back to you, I'm going to wait it out. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to hope that there's an opportunity for me to show them your sacrificial, unconditional love. See, that'd be worshiping with our patience. What would it look like if we worshiped with our kindness? When you go out to the restaurant after church today and you get to just be generous to a waiter, and you're worshiping with your kindness. When you start your day and you say, God, I know that this is going to be a tough day, but God, I'm going to worship you with my kindness today. I'm going to respond to people with this generosity of just my kindness because they might not be experiencing the same thing. And so I'm going to worship you with my kindness. What if we worshiped by not being jealous? Man, that's hard because I can look at my neighbor and I can see his ATVs and I get really jealous of that. I would love to have one of those. But what if I worshiped and say, hey, God, thank you so much for how you've given me exactly what I need for this moment in my life right now. And I'm glad that you gave it to that guy down the street. But God, thank you for what you've given me, because I'm going to worship you with what you've provided for me. If we worshiped by not being boastful or proud, so that means when you get the win, when you have a success in your life, you give credit back to God. And you say, God, thank you for making me this way, that I could accomplish what I've accomplished. God, I give you praise for that. God, thank you for how you have wired me just the way that I am so that I can succeed where I am. God, I give you glory. I give you worship for that. Look at this. It's not rude. Again, let's go back to the restaurant that we're going to go to after church today. There are some of you in this room that the waiter or waitress is going to get your order wrong. What if we worship by not being rude? And so maybe we worship and we say, God, I'm so upset right now. I'm so hungry. I'm hangry, right? I'm going to worship you by biting my tongue. I'm going to worship you by giving grace in the situation. I'm going to worship you by giving a great tip, even though I don't want to give a great tip, because that's going to help someone experience maybe some joy that they wouldn't have had otherwise. I'm not going to ruin their day for them. I'm going to worship you by being kind, by not being rude. If we worshiped by being flexible, not demanding our own way, what would it look like if that was our worship? We said, God, I'm going to worship you by recognizing that your way is more important than my way. And even though I want things to work out a certain way and a certain path right now, I'm going to put what I want aside. I'm not going to demand my own way, but God, I'm going to worship you by going wherever you want me to go. It's not irritable. What do you mean that? We can't get angry? No, if we're worshiping, because if we're worshiping, we realize that there's something so much more important than the little things that make us angry. And so it's understanding and saying, God, I'm worshiping you by realizing that this is so small and so little. And yeah, I don't like this person. I don't like their face. I don't like anything about them, but I'm not going to let that bother me. Because you are so much more important than the things that make me angry. And this last one, it keeps no record being wrong. Some of your versions say it doesn't hold a grudge. What if we worshiped? And see, some of us in here, we have deep cuts. We have hurt that's come with us. Some of us have baggage. What if our worship was to say, God, I don't want to carry this anymore. I don't want to hold on to this anymore. And so I offer it back to you. So that way I can move forward. And I know that you are powerful enough, you are good enough to take this weight, this burden from me. See, that would be worship. What if we worshiped in that way? Paul goes on, he says, love does not rejoice about injustice, but it rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. See, this idea of enduring, this idea of faithfulness, it's agape love. It's unconditional, sacrificial love. And so what if our worship looked like this? That it was unconditional, that it endured through everything. You know, you've heard Rick say so many times in the past that when we love, when we love someone, when we're married, when we're in a relationship, you have to choose each day to love that person. There's going to be days, there's going to be mornings that you wake up and you're going to see your husband or your wife and you're going to say, man, I really don't want to love them. But love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. And I wanted to draw this comparison that it's the same thing with our worship. You have to choose each day to be faithful, to endure into your relationship with God. Because what happens is we fall into this trap and we say, I don't feel God right now. Well, God is not a feeling. And so if you're showing up here and you say, hey, I didn't feel God, I'm going to ask you, would you still choose to worship God? Because there are going to be a lot of days that you're hurting, that you're struggling, that you don't feel God. But each and every day, if it's this agape, if it's this sacrificial, unconditional love that endures through every circumstance, then we have to choose each and every day to worship God, regardless of whether or not we feel Him. So Paul comes back to this idea. He says, prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and speech and special knowledge. He says, those gifts, they're great, they're good. He says, but they will all become useless. But love will last forever. He says, you have to remember that. There's some things that just aren't worth. You're missing the bigger picture if you're focused in on this small detail. You know, things that don't last forever. This was my first iPod. And man, I got that thing years ago. I loved it. I brought it to work with me every day. And I'll tell you what, I'm a big Apple fan. I love their products. And then this is what I always say when people say, why? I say, because they last forever. They don't last forever. Look at this thing. That's dated, right? That's old by today's standards. And you know what? This iPod literally caught fire in my hand when it finally gave way, right? They don't last forever. Nothing lasts forever. But Paul says, love is what lasts forever. And so then I'm going to skip ahead on this a little bit, but he says, listen, make sure that you're focusing on the big picture. He talks about the second coming of Jesus, that's what's going to help us see everything together. And then Paul says that this needs to be our focus. So stop, you know, focusing like a child and start growing, start looking more. And then he wraps up with this idea and he says that God is the one who understands us completely. So while we don't have the big picture, God has the full picture of who we are. And I'm going to bring us back to that bottom line that we have today, that the best way you can love God is by loving others. If we only have a part of the picture, if we only have that snippet of what we can, and if we, but don't get focused in on that small detail. Understand that there's more. We just might not know what it all is. And Paul's point is that we will understand what it is when Jesus comes again. But the best way, in the meantime, that we can love God, the best way that we can worship God is by loving others. Paul ends the chapter. He says this, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. He says the greatest of these, the most important thing is love. Let's go back to Jesus' words. Jesus says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. What's he say? Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will do what? It will prove to the world that you are my disciples. You know, last week Rick did such a good job of helping us see that sometimes we need to focus on what's most important and put other things aside. And Jesus makes the same point. He says, if your struggle with someone else, if you're sitting on this side of the room because you don't like someone on that side of the room, maybe you're in Lincoln or South County and you're there because you don't like someone here in Cranston, that's a problem. Jesus says that your love for each other, he says you should be able to put aside all that because the way that you love each other is what's going to prove to your coworkers, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your family members. That's what's going to prove that Jesus is so important. That's what's going to change the world. That's how we're going to see our state change and the spiritual climate change, because people are going to see that people are willing to give up their differences. They're willing to sacrifice their like for something. They're willing to sacrifice their disagreement that they have with someone because they're showing an agape love, an unconditional, sacrificial love. Jesus says when people see that in you, and that's the real deal, that's when they'll know how important that relationship with Jesus is. So our hope is that we can grow in that as a church, And I want to give you a couple next steps that you can take into this week. So will everyone go to your connection card, if that's your QR code. If you're online, go ahead and click that link. If you have the paper bulletin, take that out right now, and let's walk through these together. The first is just this. It's my attention has been in the wrong place. And so I will set aside 7 minutes to start my day worshiping God. Here's what I'm asking. 7 minutes, 7 days a week. Anyone can give up 7 minutes. And you might be saying, hey, I already spent 20 minutes. I already spent 30 minutes. You know what? That's great. Make it 27 minutes. Make it 37 minutes. And 7 minutes is a starting point. But can you start your day and say, God, I know I have a tough day ahead, but I'm going to worship you with my patience. I'm going to worship you with my kindness. I'm going to worship you with not getting angry, with a lack of irritability. I'm going to worship you in these ways. And God, thank you for how I woke up this morning. Thank you for the bed that I have to actually wake up in. Thank you for the car that's going to drive me to work. God, I give you praise for those things. Can you start your day, 7 minutes, worshiping God? And here's our other next step for today. That this week I will start, or maybe you need to restart, praying each day for God to show me one person who I can demonstrate his love to. We call it praying for one here at Hope Church. That means each day we start our day and we say, God, show me that one person, any one person that I can demonstrate your love to. You know what we find is that God answers that prayer time and time again. Because why wouldn't God want his agape, unconditional, sacrificial love to be demonstrated to other people so that they can experience it too? And so can you start each day saying, God, show me that one person that I can demonstrate your love to? And can you do it in that sacrificial way? Maybe the sacrifice for you is handing out one of these, and you say, man, I'm so shy. I don't like handing out cards. I don't like having conversations with people. But would you make the sacrifice to invite one of these? Maybe the sacrifice is who you're going to invite. You say, man, I don't even like this person, but I think it would be a good thing for them to get to know Jesus. And I don't want to sit next to him for an hour, but I'm going to sit next to him for an hour because I'm going to have this agape love for them. Would you be thinking about who you can invite to Easter? And guess what? We're running out of time to keep thinking, so we got to actually start inviting. So would you invite someone next week to Easter or Good Friday services? Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this sacrificial, unconditional love. And we just pray and we ask, would you show us one person today? Would you show us one person each day this week that we can demonstrate your love to, that we can show that sacrificial, unconditional love to? Jesus, we love you, and we pray this in your name.